So I'm pleased to introduce Pete Miletic.
Yep.
I'm going to read what Pete has. But Pete, when you think about Pete, think of lean manufacturing applied to innovative things like corporate governance and corporate information. Pete is the founder of Finmetrics. They have headquarters in Boston, and they've got clients around the world. And you had some very positive news with a client that you shared today. His expertise is advanced performance measurement methods for leaders. Again, his expertise is lean manufacturing, but he applies it to unusual settings like boards of directors. He was previously with Ernst & Young. He's got these fascinating degrees. He's got one degree in engineering from the University of Belgrade. He's got an MSc in satellite remote sensing. I think I'm really cool because I can pronounce it. From the University of Barry, and an MBA from Northeastern University. So I'm going to put this in your... here, and put that there, and you're ready to go.
Thanks. And thanks, Larry, for not, you know, butchering my last name, because that's normally what happens. You know, when I started my, you know, consulting career here a long time ago with the Boston Globe, we had this facilitation session, you know, and you start normally with just like this one, with introducing, everybody in the room. And I said, okay, you know, I will start first. So this is 8 o'clock. In a December, a very cold December morning, and you know, I go off and I say, my name is Predrag Miletic, and I see 9 faces looking at me, and they said, electric, what? You know, so I said, okay, Pete, and then, you know, forget the last name. So, but I just decided, you know, to spell it a little differently, you know, and it's P-A-T, like Pete Moss. Anyway, so just a quick... you know, etymology thing about my name. Anyway, so I'm really glad that Larry provided this opportunity to speak about measurement and, you know, how advanced metrics can help boards and board members specifically be more effective and efficient at what they do. So, but you know, it's a very broad area, and I could speak about it for hours, and I guarantee that I will put every one of you to sleep if you let me do that. So what I'd like to do is just, you know, go around the room and just, you know, tell me very plainly, you know, what is of interest to you, and I will try to cover those points in the next 45 minutes. So, you know, we can start from Neil or from Jim, whoever.
Either way, the application of metrics from a sort of manufacturing environment to boardroom is curious. I know how to measure in manufacturing. You do with your stopwatch and hours, and parts and costs. But the board process is a different process.
Right.
So it's curious as to how it gets measured.
Right. How do you connect extremely low level metrics to high level board decisions? Right. Between lean and detailed metrics with board. Goals. Okay?
Pete, if I could build on that and to identify causality or
okay.
Correlation or causality. That.
Okay.
So I guess my question is a little bit, I understand lean manufacturing, and very similar to how does that apply to the process of governance, which seems to be a much softer, multivariable and determined by laws and legal structures and rules, and rather than by outputting of a product. So I'm having trouble having the processes are parallel. That's the
okay. Okay.
So I'm the same thing. I just said it in a way.
Okay. All right. But I think. I think you put one more, one additional attribute there, because like you said, board of directors is governance oriented. So how do you reconcile that, right, as opposed to your direct operational management?
So the right answer may be illegal.
Right. No, I think the right answer, we'll go into more detail later, but the right answer is, it's really how you get the data and what metrics you use, to provide value to board members. That's where you can use, lean management approaches. But, we'll go deeper into that when,
Lean manufacturing has this dashboard metric system. So, is it that kind of the area you're talking about?
Well, the metrics of today are just very gross approximations, right? Most of them have been invented 120, 150 years ago. When you didn't have the computing power, you didn't have so people just did approximations. They say, okay, I know what my sales are at quarter end, and I'll, divide that into accounts receivable and I'll get DSO. Whoop-de-doo. That's actually a very imprecise measure. There isn't much that we are using today that was invented 150 years ago, other than maybe arithmetics and basic sciences. But management tools that were invented they're 150 years ago. A few of them, if any, are in use today, except the metrics. So the approach that really brings more value is to go at from the smallest level, from invoice level, from part number level, and apply relatively simple statistical methodology, like Pareto distributions and so on and so forth, to get to meaningful numbers, and produce metrics that are relevant, that are accurate and timely. Most, if you think about going from quarter to quarter, you have a quarterly cadence. If there is a trend that's developing and you have only quarterly cadence, by the time you look at those numbers second time, it might be too late. We've seen with a lot of private equity portfolio companies is they make quarterly cash flow projections based on last year's sales. For example, they say, okay, well, sales are going to grow 5% this year, so our cash flow requirement is going to be 5 to 7% higher than last year at same quarter. That's like driving forward and looking in, by looking in your rear mirror. It doesn't provide any accuracy. So the way you re-engineer those metrics is you go much deeper. You connect into the systems and you start at transaction level. You measure at that level and then aggregate it and present that information to board members so they can forecast based on real numbers. With a very high level of accuracy a month forward, it's a different approach, right? It's proactive. It's not backward looking, waiting, but real time.
I'll be interested to see where this conversation goes. I've actually been on the board of the Lean Aerospace Initiative, mm-hmm. representing a large defense contractor. So I'm a big believer in metrics. Mm-hmm. And metrics, down to the business unit, down to the product level. So it'll be interesting to see what you have to say about it. But I mean, I could see, at the board level, for example, if you're running a car company, you know, how long does it take to get your new model to market?
Right.
That kind of thing, and trying to reduce the cycle time associated with new product introduction. You can say the same thing about the F-35 aircraft or similar products. So I'd be interested to see how the conversation develops as we go. But I would be interested in, you know, is there a template that you normally would use or recommend to start with, let's say, you know, as a board member for a manufacturing business, let's say. And then you probably want to tailor that to whatever the specific business might be.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Bill?
Just interested in practical applications, how this, examples of how this process has worked in terms of providing the board with the information they need to make changes, to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Maybe I was thought what I heard was metrics to evaluate the performance of board members.
And, I see.
And you know, so then what would the metrics be? And if you know, so you have the corporate how the company does, but then and then I was thinking that it was company performance related to board performance.
Okay.
Such as meeting attendance, or what committees they have, or the size of the board, or how often, or what level of detail do they discuss? So that's what I heard. Metrics for evaluation of boards. I thought this is board evaluation.
Okay. All right. Excellent. We can talk about that as well. Yes.
Yeah, last time we were here, we talked sort of about how the board should fit together to work properly. And so I was thinking, does this give you metrics, which is sort of along with what Chris just said, you know, do you come out of it with a fit approach that helps you, the board, work together or be constructed?
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that everyone wants CEO.
I think constructive information provided to board members, and does it help them in their goals?
Yeah, reasonable.
Okay.
I was hearing it as how can the metrics in the company help the board make better decisions, but my background is all in service companies, so I don't want to muddy the water because you're talking about manufacturing. I'd leave it so that we can have some concrete examples.
No, service companies, manufacturing companies, when you talk about lean management principles, it really doesn't matter. You know,
right. Say, for instance, right. In healthcare, we've got a whole game changer coming in the industry, and the numbers of people that we'll be serving are going to be different in each of the environments, and it's something that it's not always predictable, so it's going to be interesting.
Right.
Because we're looking at something that's constantly changing as we're trying to deliver care.
But Marianne, in that context, your agency nursing budget is going to be even worse today, and lean management can affect that.
Right. Excellent. So service... Okay.
I'd be interested to figure out how the consensus on the enterprise the business model is arrived at as among the board members and management. Management and the board members, and then management and board members together. Until you understand, until you have a common understanding of the enterprise business model.
Mm-hmm.
Just to use an extreme example, Enron was not an energy company, it was a series of banks. It failed because the board maybe wasn't watching it as a series of banks.
Okay, very interesting.
Well, I had the same ideas as Chris and Bill and Mary Ann did, that we were going to be talking about board performance. So I'm retooling my cogs and my brain.
No, don't necessarily retool the cogs, because...
My first question would be, would the CEO or the chairman use these metrics in either an overt or a covert way with the board to judge and work with them with their performance? And if it is overt, is that going to be, how are you actually going to introduce that to the board and get their buy-in into being evaluated? Because both the UK and the US have been really wrestling with the whole board performance issue. UK for the best.
I get this all out of research.
How will CEO use metrics to evaluate board of directors, and should it be overt or covert, right? Okay.
From my perspective, being in the life sciences, how do you use these metrics to evaluate your research and development programs, which are key to your business?
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, I think I got my work cut out, you know. So, before we go into specific questions, you know, or topics, I think, you know, I should explain very quickly, you know, the approach that we take, or that you know, I think that should be taken to produce relevant metrics. Is, you know, should start at the lowest level. So if, when I'm saying you should start at the lowest level, if you're thinking about accounts receivable, that's an invoice. If you're thinking about inventory, right, that's a part, right, that or SKU, frankly. So you start at that level. So what that means really is that you should have a pretty good IT environment, a pretty advanced environment, to be able to collect that data, or actually to have access to that data. It doesn't necessarily mean that a company should have the latest ERP implemented, but there should be. And today there are many technologies that allow you to access data in systems at the level that I'm talking about, right? So it's live current data, not historical. So basically what that allows you to do, it allows you to measure the business very, very accurately. And so what happens is, if you're able to connect to the systems and get live data, then what you can do in your business intelligence application, some database, you can actually calculate metrics at that low level, right? So if you calculate metrics at the basic level, whatever metrics they are at this point in time, what that means is that you can then aggregate it at any desired level, which can be a customer, which can be, you know, a geographic region, a product, a plant. You know, it doesn't really matter, because you're going at the lowest level, so you can aggregate at any desired level, provided that that attribute, that information exists. You know, you have to have an piece of information that tells you this is the particular sales region or geography or a salesperson or a part of an R&D department or product that's in development. You know, so basically you can track it through its phases. So what happens is, you know, for invoices, for example, you calculate cycle times at an invoice level, and then you aggregate that by a customer, by a salesman. If you're talking about procurement, for example, you can do the same thing based on a purchase order, on a customer order, level, and then roll all your spend up by spend category or by supplier, and then do things to analyze, is your spend concentrated in the right number of suppliers, for example? Do you have supplier proliferation and you're actually losing on the opportunity to create economies of scale, right? In more importantly, for example, for private equity companies and portfolio companies of private equity companies, is if you measure everything at transaction level, what you can do then is you can make very accurate cash flow forecasts with a window of a month in the future. So what happens very often in private equity world is that the management of a private equity company makes a forecast and they usually miss the cash flow forecast. So the problem that happens is they miss bank covenants, which is a huge problem for the private equity for the investor, right? Because they have to answer to their to general partners and they don't really like to do that, right? So these metrics that start at this very low level, when you roll them up, then you have meaningful information and meaningful timely information to make decisions. So just wanted to basically say, how this entire methodology is different. The starting point is different. You start at the lowest level and then build up. So when we talk about connection between lean and detail metrics with board goals, depending on which what is your responsibility on the board, you can essentially, instead of looking at high-level global metrics that don't provide much information in the sense of action, right? What action needs to be taken, you can here look and very accurately see what is my cycle, what are my production cycle times, how long does it take for me, for example, to build a car. How long, you can compare that to your competition, and right there you can see, if you are lagging behind or if you're leading. The best companies actually compare themselves not so much with their peers, but with what's possible. You have an artificial benchmark. And you compare yourself against what is theoretically possible, and you basically go through a continuous improvement process, and constantly are in the forefront. So everybody else is a follower. You're not necessarily comparing yourself to your peers. Where else? In the in the new product development process. If you start at the lowest level, and measure all the components of the new product development process, you will see, for example, that it takes you 3 years to come up with a new car model, for example, and you know that Toyota comes in less than 2 years. So right there, that's a problem. It's a very strategic problem because, if you're coming up, late with new models, you will lose on the marketplace. And by measuring at the lowest level and then aggregating, you will be also able to know why, it takes so long to come up with a new new product, new model. For example, you will be able to see, because you're measuring, you will be able to see that it takes you a long time to build, for example, a mock-up. Go ahead.
One of the standard cliches in corporate governance is nose in, fingers out.
Right.
And as I'm listening to you, I'm saying, I can see a problem here. Mm-hmm. That is, if you're going to measure at the lowest level, might there be a tendency for boards to kind of seize on the lowest level and then all of a sudden getting involved in operating details that they ought not to be involved in?
So, excellent question. It's how you produce the metrics, right? They don't necessarily get to see the lowest level, right? So basically, what they see on their dashboard is new model development cycle time. That's what they see. They don't see the entire operation but then they can ask questions. They can ask direct questions and say, why does it take this long? Why not? We know that your peers do it for 30% less time. That's I think how they keep the nose in and fingers out. Any questions, comments at this point?
So I think what you're saying is, you're not replicating management accounting, but using management accounting to supply the variables that you've strategically chosen. These are the five things that you, for example, I want to manage my R&D delivery time.
Right.
And then you're saying, if it's my R&D delivery time, I need it in 6 months, because that's what the industry, you then have to drive down and say, okay, what are the 10 operating variables
right.
that I could pull up to that to see to have some correlation. So you have this correlation to your business strategy.
Correct. Yes.
So your board has to have that.
Your board has to have that first, right? So it's the difference between seeing high level, accounting sort of financial metrics as opposed to operational metrics, right? There has to be a connection, and today there is no connection between the two. So if you think of a board member, today the information they see is identical to the information that an analyst sees, that when they're researching the company. They just see balance sheet, income statement, statements of cash flow, and that's pretty much it. So if you think from a standpoint of a board member, can you add value? Yes, because you have a lot of experience and all that, but you could add a ton more value if you knew some of the operational metrics. Granted at the high level, you could ask good questions. You could you could be a real sounding board to the CEO, and then you don't even talk anymore about antagonism and all of that. You basically have five people that are talking about business issues.
As a board, though, and I'll say not as an individual director, because the relationship can be different, but as a board, that presentation of summary financials every quarter, we get it two or three or a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's high level. The purpose is not to analyze the data. The purpose is to get the presentation in the meeting and see whether the management team actually knows what they're talking about. And I see that as being, I appreciate the management value of having better, more meaningful sort of information as to what's driving the business. But I think the board can get there, I suppose, either way, right? The question gets asked as to whether the CEO and the rest of the corporate staff has the answer, and how they answer seems more important than the underlying metric.
Well,
from the point of view of the board doing whatever it is the board does.
Right. So if you subscribe to the school that that's what the board should do. You basically challenge and see if the management knows, you know, what they're talking about. I'll argue with you that you can't really do that really well based on just high level financial information, because I've been in so many situations where basically private equity board members brought us in to say, look, this is the second board meeting, the second that I'm having, and we can't make an accurate cash flow forecast. They keep telling me that they can do it, but I can't wait for the third quarter, to turn around, because if we don't make it the third quarter, I'm going to have to, do some really serious decisions, right? So the thing is, traditional metrics don't allow you to see, where the problem lies. So then, you have this situation where you have to hire somebody from outside to come in and tell you, where the problem is. You should be able to see, the problems without that, I think.
Do you think most board members know the metrics that drive the businesses that they're on the board of? Some people, if they're from that particular industry, might, but others may not. So I think that's an important thing.
I think what you said is true.
Yeah.
Some do, some don't.
And I think that's a great question, because I think that even when you are from that industry, sometimes you don't know what the drivers are in the business because things change.
Right.
And so I think what you said earlier about what drives the business, is understanding that is important to building on what the data is. I mean, if we at Welch's have data on sales by the minute at Walmart. We know what our SKUs are in our plant by the minute. We have every kind of granular data. But it needs to be pertinent. To what drives the business.
Right.
So it's interesting you say that, because having heard Walmart COO speak several years ago, Walmart's drivers, their drivers, right, are primarily external, right? Price of gasoline, mm-hmm. right? The price at the pump of gasoline changes their customers' driving habits. And it doesn't necessarily impact their sales, but it impacts the timing. During the day, mm-hmm. people don't make that extra.
There's another point to be made, though. It's not so much your sales or the forecasting your revenue. I think what's being suggested is that I think what Billy was talking about. Well, what's Enron? What is business then? What are some of the business models of drivers rather than business drivers? So we're not talking about activity-based costing or.
Right.
I think what he's saying is the management accounting itself. That's how you run the business, and you do that well, and you're not trying to replicate that. What he's saying is, from that management accounting, you can pull out three or four variables, because if the board doesn't know where they're going, maybe they should leave and get another board in. But to put it bluntly, that if the board doesn't know, strategically, we need to have 10 new, I'll pick on you a little bit, because you sort of said that, the CEO says, listen, I need 10, every 5 years, I need 10 breakout life science, biotech developments.
Right.
And so that means I need two a year, and tell me as a board member, I don't care how you're running the company, it's not management accounting, tell me, I want to know, how are we doing to getting these two a year out?
Right.
And I think that's what he's suggesting.
Right.
Forget how you run the company, we'll talk about that, there's nothing wrong with that, but Ted, I need two a year. And so in the management metrics somewhere, maybe from Joe over in accounting and Susie over in R&D, there's going to be some variables in there. You can draw that up to sort of start to predict in some way. And like every measurement, as you start measuring stuff, you get better at your predictors and your measurement, your metrics, and you say, well, let's stop tracking Susie, let's start tracking, and you start to do that, and you build up. So I think what's being suggested is that there's the board's supposed to know what they're doing. It's supposed, you know, strategically, like Oleg said, you know, did Enron board know what they're doing? They're really smart people. Did Hewlett-Packard board know what, do they know what they're doing?
I mean, right. But,
you know, there's a bunch of questions like that that says maybe they don't understand their basic drivers.
Do they share enough time thinking about it?
Right.
Right. That's, you know, so one other thing to challenge is, you know, I know, you know, board members get their data on a quarterly basis, you know, 2 weeks before basically the board meeting. Should that be the case? You know, should you be able to have, you know, your dashboard that you access online and you see it basically once a month or whenever you want? You see your five metrics that you want to see when you want to see them, right? So that way you can provide much better advice or opinion to the CEO. And actually, you know, if you're on the audit committee, you can provide much better value to investors, right? It's not just the CEO that the board is that's not your only customer, right? So what is the frequency and what are the metrics? Right, that's the first thing, you know, that, you know, if you are a board member and people have expectations of you, you know, I would say, you know, I need to see these five things so that I can be of help. So see what happens. Most companies probably will tell you, oh, we can't get that for you, right? But I would insist, right?
Yeah, so appreciating the value. You go back to say, if I'm on the board and if I have a dashboard, right, I've now gone from having a general knowledge of the business, staying generally involved, I'll call the CEO every once in a while to see what's going on, to now being able to pick up my phone, right, anytime, day or night, in real time. What does that do to my my responsibility as a director, and how does it change my role?
I think
versus the CEO. And I'll give you my analogy is, you know, so I'm on, you know, on the board of this NASCAR team, okay, but there's somebody driving the car and I can have all the metrics I want, but I can't influence the race.
Right. Well, you know that, and that's, well, you can't influence the race
during the race.
Right. You know, well, I think the responsibility, I don't think that the responsibility changes. I think what happens is that you have more tools and information to deliver your responsibility better.
So maybe I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
I am saying it's a paradigm change.
It is.
If you expect directors, right, to somehow be paying attention to a 24/7 dashboard.
Well, is it 24/7 or is it some frequency that's higher? But the thing is, that's why you have five metrics that are, you know, you're not producing them. The company is not producing them manually. They should all be automated. So you can see it. So what happens is people are not spending time, you know, collecting data and developing metrics. People are spending time looking at, you know, indicators and thinking about them, you know, people that matter, right? So that is a paradigm change. Like you know, I'll give you an example, you know, with Intel, for example. Before they were a processor manufacturer, they were memory manufacturer, right? And they lived and worked, you know, for a long time, actually, while they were at the same time losing the battle with Japanese manufacturers. You know, the writing was on the wall, even with traditional metrics, but nobody really reacted to it on the from the management, nobody from the boards. You know, the curve was going down, and just people didn't react because they didn't. And it's really sort of, you can expect that from the management because they're so close to the business and, you know, it's their child. Sort of nobody wants to admit that their child suddenly became ugly, right? Somebody outside, you know, that is impartial but is looking at these good metrics, will tell him, well, you know, it was beautiful, but now it's sort of something happened, you know, and so for Intel, it was extremely costly. You know, but they were lucky. They were actually lucky that they survived. That they had this processor business on the side that was a stepchild. That they, you know, that Andy Grove basically, you know, turned all the resources of the company. But you know, almost 2 years, they were going down for 2 years when he started moving the company into, you know, a processor manufacturing. Right. But it's all based on metrics. You know, so if you have an impartial third party that looks at good metrics, you would expect, you know, that they would react in time. You know, so and when you think about it, how much money Intel lost in those 2 years, the change that they had to go had to be drastic and quick, so they had to lay off a lot of people. You know, they wouldn't necessarily have to lay off, you know, if they started the change earlier. There's so many, you know, repercussions, just, but the writing was on the wall. I think, you know, if you have that, and if you really have independent directors, you know, the independence should be like, you know, should be based on, okay, you know, if you really want me to help you with this business and you provide my, you know, 2 cents on it, then, you know, provide these 5 measures that I know are important in this particular industry, you know, go ahead.
The positive part of what you're saying is that it's continuous engagement by the board member, so you're getting mind share.
Right.
Over, it's not a part-time job every quarter. It's a part-time job all the time.
Correct.
The challenge, though, is that management does want to have the board somewhat barefoot and pregnant, and a little bit, just a little bit ignorant.
Right.
And so, that how do you, in reality, how do you get a consensus? You're dealing in a peculiar construct of where shareholders dominate the board, direct shareholders.
Right.
And so they're demanding a level of accountability from managements in their portfolio companies. And especially now where you have multiple private equity groups owning a company, you need something to mediate their individual inputs.
Right.
And they each have their view on what the business, what the enterprise business model is to begin with,
right?
And so the real challenge is how can you, for yourself or your business is how do you become more prevalent in the private equity market? But the other one is, can you take those experiences and lessons and carry them over into the publicly listed environment? You can probably get into the private companies even faster, closely held companies even
right.
faster. Than the public companies, but the challenge is how to do it with public companies, because that's where the challenges are most obvious.
Well, I think you hit it right on the nose. I mean, in private equity world, you know, because boards of directors are direct investors in the company, you know, then it's easier, right? But the thing is, when you have accurate metrics that matter for that particular business, I think it becomes easier for everybody. There is no, I feel this, right? Or, you know, I feel we are growing. No. the numbers say, you know, we are growing. And we know, if we all know how the numbers are produced, you know, then, you know, there isn't much discussion, you know, whether that's right or wrong, but there's a lot of discussion of how to make it better. So these kinds of metrics increase visibility for everybody, even for the CEO. You know, sometimes for the CEO it's very difficult to explain to board members, you know, what's going on, because oftentimes they don't have accurate information. They have a feeling about what's going on because they're plugged into their business, but, you know, if they had metrics, it would be much easier for them to explain that. I think in the public markets, you know, because most of the investors, the largest amounts of stock right, today is held by institutional investors. So those institutional investors, they want visibility. They want to know what's going on, right? So
yes and no. They're constrained by FD.
Right.
So there's a waltz that's being danced the whole time, and they're in our public markets, there's so much transaction. There's so much efficiency that people are really looking to gain the market rather than invest in companies.
Right.
And I think that pervades most institutional investors. If they were truly owners, we'd be in a better society. But they're not. They're there trying to beat out the next guy at the margin for their IRR without ever thinking about whether that's a sustainable rate of return.
Right.
So, I mean, we're talking, you're opening up something that you know, is a real sore that needs to be opened and cleaned before you can get the medicine in there.
Pete, I just, as a timekeeper, we've got five minutes.
5 minutes, yes. Well.
So, I would defend you a little bit. Now, if I'm a CEO, and there are five key parameters, this is the board, you're not going to see the management numbers. That's just not going to happen. But sourcing defined even two key parameters. So track the DSO, track this to get to how we're doing on growing a certain sector of the business that the board and everybody thinks is important. So you get to see, anytime you want, how we're doing on that particular sector that we've said we're going to invest a lot of capital in and grow that. But that's all you're going to see. You're not going to see the DSO for everything. It's too complicated. So in some ways, he's saying, I think, strategically as a board, figure out what's really important and how the board should be moving forward. And we'll source the information, but you're not going to see this stuff. It's just going to be sourced in here. But we'll aggregate it so that, you know, we've got a new strategy. We want to move to Asia. Okay, so the Asian strategy for developing specific technologies for the life sciences in Asian, that probably, narrow it down and say, okay, fine. We'll now get 10 parameters. We'll track that to see how we're doing in that process, I think, is what Pete is saying. See, so you don't get management accounting, any management information, except on a quarterly basis, wherever you normally get it. Instead, you get five numbers you could track daily, I think.
Right.
That says, all we're going to find out about is this Asian thrust, this cost reduction scheme in this particular product line. The automotive guys, what's the cycle time? How are we doing in reducing the cycle time on the Taurus product line?
But are you actually saying that the board itself, as a group, first understanding their alignment on the enterprise business model, which I agree with you, is not always simple, would be the one to define as a group the five output metrics and then ask the management team to develop the measurement system to support that?
I think it's a conversation. Right, it's not them, it's not board members demanding, we want these five metrics. It's it's a conversation, it's a collaboration. It's saying, talking with the CEO, basically, what is our role? What is our role as board members? And if our role is to be a sounding board to you, and to give you difference of opinion and be your advisors outside of any consultants or anything like that, in that case, we need to be able to see these five metrics that will allow us to help you or to play to play the role, and it's a back and forth, right? Go ahead.
Question. One of the things that's just sort of nagging in the back of my mind is I'm trying to think about when metrics wouldn't work, and are there important processes in companies where things are not predictable and where things don't follow a pattern, so there is no way to predict that, and it could be that some of the most important things really cannot be captured in a metric. And that's what, if I were sitting on a board, that's one of the things I would be wrestling with, because I know I love numbers, and I would feel so much happier if I had five, and I could say, this is all I need to know, or these are the most important things. And yet, there's this big, huge thing out there about ready to, you know, come down and squash part of the company.
Right. So you're talking about black swan events, right? The ones that are unpredictable that just happen, right? So, or, you know, in hindsight, we think we should have been able to predict them, but really not.
Or a phenomenon that doesn't follow a normal distribution.
Right.
Does not ever. Everything's an outlier.
Right. Well, in case of black swan, by definition, they're unpredictable events. So you shouldn't even be trying to predict them because they're unpredictable, right? So the only thing that you can do there is to make sure that you have a structure that can attenuate, you know, or amortize the black swan event. So, for example, of a black swan event for Toyota. Was the whole thing about the car accelerating on its own? At the end of it, that was not the case at all. It wasn't true. But for Toyota, it was a huge black swan event, so that they couldn't predict. But what they were able to do, because they were doing these measurement and lean implementation and extended enterprise management. So what they were able to do is they were able to build their supplier base and extended supply chain in such a way that when that black swan event happened, they basically shut down one part of the entire system and sourced.